Blog Talk Radio.
They all come along like they all to Yahshua. They all come along like they all to Elohim. They all come along like they all to Yahshua, my Savior. Elohim, like Big Bruh. Come along.
Some of you know him as Marcus Speaks, but we are excited about having him on the show, and we're going to do some great things, talk about some great things. Before we get to that, though, once again, you are listening to Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio. We are on every Saturday, 1 o'clock p.m. New York time, Eastern time, or standard Eastern time, and I am your host, Kofi Afudi. You can find me anywhere if you're looking for me, hashtag find Kofi. If you're looking for me on Instagram, TikTok, look for me at Kofi underscore 40. That includes YouTube as well. That's K-O-F-I underscore O-F-O-R-I. And you can find me on Facebook if you're looking for me there at Kofi Devin Afudi. That's Devin, D-E-V-I-N, Kofi Devin Afudi. But we're so glad to have you guys on. And I'm thankful to have you on once again. We are looking forward to having our guest on, Marcus, at Marcus Speaks. And we actually have a few callers on, so if you're interested in, we'll try and give some time and a little bit to be able to reach out to you guys for you guys to have some questions, any questions, comments, or concerns. I'll actually make sure we do that a little earlier in the show. I see you 904, I see you 650, I see you 214. So we will try to make sure that we get you in later on. If you're joining us and you are streaming, you can get in the chat as well. We'll make sure that we look at you at what you got for us in the chat. As a matter of fact, I'm looking right now, so I'll try to get things started. Feel free to leave any questions, comments, concerns that you have now. We are on NSF Radio once again, so King Cam, who's on here. He has two shows that he does on here, or he has one show that he does twice on here on Mondays and Wednesdays from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. We also have a show that I co-host with our founder, Brother Alfred, and we do that Thursday at 1 o'clock p.m. New York time as well. But we're thankful to have everybody in here. Feel free to leave whatever questions, comments, or concerns you may have. And, of course, we got to give another shout-out to what NSF is part of. It stands for National Saving Fatherhood. That's you can actually find out more about it at nsfatherhood.org. N is in national, S is in saving, nsfatherhood.org, where we try to do a lot of things for our community, for Black fathers, for fathers in general, and even, for, of course, for our women, because we as fathers, we as men should be making sure that we are taking care of our Black queen, of our Black woman. With all that being said, I'm going to go ahead and get ready to bring Brother King Cam on. Some of you know him as Marcus Speaks. Are you there, brother? Are you able to come on with us and say hello to the people? Up. Okay, we might be might be something on my end with the board. Y'all give me a second. Might have to try this a couple times. Let me try this again. Brother Marcus, are you on to say hello to us on Kofi Speaks?
What's going on? Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Now I got you. Can you give me the first number? Not the first three, but just the first number, your phone number. I'll make sure I lock you in.
643.
Oh, okay. I got you coming up with something else. It's all good, though. I'm just glad to have you on.
Starts with 214 and
thanks for being
on.
Okay. I got you. All right. Cool. Well, thank you for being on. The people know you. If they listen to NSF Radio, they already know you as King Cam with Midnight Oil. We know we have you on, and we know you from TikTok. I actually knew you from TikTok, and until I was told by Brother Alfred, I didn't know that you were the same person, actually, on Marcus Speaks and King Cam for a minute. It took me a minute to actually put two and two together, so that's cool. I've only listened to a couple shows because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm an early sleeper, so I'm not great at staying up past certain times, but I've tried to listen in. It's a great show. And, you know, before we get into all that stuff, just since we got you on, quick question to start us off. So what are some of the things, you know, you're obviously into history. You're very much so into being Afrocentric. You kind of have a laid-back personality. With some of the stuff that we see, we hear, you know, viewers on TikTok here or people on the radio show or even people in your personal life who you do stuff with, when we see all these things and these qualities and these great qualities that you have and the great things that you're trying to do to make sure you teach us as a community to love ourselves and things like that, where does that passion, that energy, that mindset, where does that come from? Where did that start? Is that something that you always had, or are you like some of us to where we kind of grew into that, where we learned, you know, about ourselves, and we realized there's a whole bunch more to us? Where does that come from?
Oh, man. First of all, my name is Marcus. I'm Marcus Speaks, and I'd like to give this disclaimer. I'm a concerned educator that's concerned about educating the whole person. Yes, I'm also known as King Cam. The thing is, this love for history came from loving my family history. You understand? And it started when I was a kid, like 5 and 6 years old.
Okay.
At my grandmother's house. Looking through the photo albums, you know, the black and white photo albums, you know. This is years before Facebook. This is in the 80s. So it came from that.
Yeah, a lot of young folk might be surprised to understand it was that the 80s actually existed. But
Right. So my love for that, you know, who is this person? Who is that person? So my love for history started with me loving and appreciating my family history. And then it blossomed from that to reading books. You know, in the elementary school, they used to line us up. We would pick books. Mm. But somehow, I would end up at the end of the line. So the Dr. Seuss and Mother Goose books was gone. And all that was left was history books, mythology books, and so on. So I just went on and picked that up. And I was one day, I was telling my uncle about Greek mythology. And, you know, he's a doctor now. He's a doctor. He said, have you ever heard of Egyptology? I said, what's that? And,
wow.
Man, look, I cracked open some Egyptian books on Egypt, and my dad bought me little books and things like that. My family would buy books, and by the time I was 12, 13 years old, I at least had a grasp of who I am as a person and where we came from as a people. And so when I went to high school, I get the U.S. history, George Washington, and all this kind of thing. But on the flip side, I already know how this thing goes. And so it started with African, you know, my family history. And I would encourage people to, as bleak as it may be, you may not know all the names, but to know somebody's name and to make that connection. And then you know, I got my degree in history, and I'm a teacher, so I teach social studies. So whenever I teach, or even if I'm on social media, it's coming from an educator standpoint, you know. And so, I enjoy it, especially African history, because there's so much to discuss, and sometimes. We forget that there is a population out there that knows nothing about African history, and that's my target audience. That's the individuals who haven't looked at all the YouTube videos and went to all the lectures. We're talking about like African history 101. Nobody knows anything about anything, and so that's how I approach it. And thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. You know, I really appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for being on. Like I was saying, you know, and I know maybe you're not this by. Well, I don't even know. But you know, I know some people say this is not their profession. But you know, from seeing what you're doing, and you know, I don't know if you want to cook this term of, you know, of, you know, jelly or jelly griot or Egyptologist to a certain extent or whatever, but you definitely have way more knowledge than many of us do, and I'm glad to, you know, get a lot of it from you. I try my best to look on there. So one, oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening. I'm with you.
Oh, okay. And so I was just going to say, one thing that I find incredible, like you said, is that a lot of people almost have zero knowledge. Even when you think you have knowledge, you know, the more knowledge you gain, the more you realize you don't know. But a lot of us, when I'm talking to people, doesn't matter what color they are, where they're from, even if they're from Kemet, you'd be surprised how many people sometimes have zero knowledge. What are some of the things that are most surprising to you that you seem to come across the most? You know, you don't have to limit it to any number, but what are some, you know, things that you come across that you're like, wow, it's always surprising that I have to kind of go back to this well over and over and over again?
That the people of Egypt were black. That's the one thing that I always have to remind people, be it, and even my seniors, I teach high school seniors, and they don't know. I'm like, did you look at their faces? It's like I seen that dude at the store. They look just like you.
Well, I'm sorry for interrupting you. But can I let me just add another question on there real quick, if you don't mind. Why is it? Because I have so many theories. I've heard so many theories, and I'm just always interested in what people have to say or think about this. Why is it that you think that we, as society, not even black or white, just society, you know, I guess colonization is an easy answer, but what are some reasons that you think that it's so easy for us to just not think of something that obvious, that obviously these people are in Africa, they're known to be black throughout history, but for whatever reason, we just label them as anything other than? Like, why is it that some of the things that you think we fall into, you know, trap falls we fall into mentally that allow us to even, you know, fall for that game?
It's because of either the media or by simple wordplay. The media, And for many years, as long as there's been some kind of visual representation, because keep in mind that we just got up from slavery like over a couple hundred years ago. So pictures and stuff wasn't really big yet. So by the time the moving pictures and photographs happened, we saw, you know, Elizabeth Taylor playing Cleopatra. You understand? And we saw Charlton Heston play Moses and so on. So the thing is, early in the 20th century, we had that visual representation of Egyptians being white. But what happened is there was a turn in the 60s and 70s, said, no, they weren't white because they were in Africa. So we go from the media standpoint to the wordplay. Egypt is not in Africa, it's in the Middle East. So now, mentally, students and young people now, you know, in this generation, and, you know, a little bit before us, we automatically would assume or think or make that connection. The Middle East is Arab. You understand? So that wordplay finessed Egypt, or carved them out, that one corner of Africa out of Africa, and put it in the Middle East somewhere, knowing that that's another construct. So, that's the media played a lot. And, of course, even recently, like the movie Gods of Egypt, it was people who say they was Egyptian, even Egyptian gods, even though they were, you know, Nubians and so on and so forth, they had British accents. How Britain wasn't even in the picture yet. So that kind of thing. And so, yes, I get surprised if even and people still, even on TikTok, you know, it that conversation can roll for months, you know. And I'm like, bro, look at their faces. And then, of course, they're so deep into their argument, they're so far into it, they're like, basically, it don't matter. I'm just going to say what I say, and you got to believe that. I said, well, here's the thing. It's multiple representation of these faces. And if they wanted to paint themselves white, they had to paint the materials to paint themselves white. But these people were brown, black, dark, some lighter, or whatever. And he said, what about the Greeks that named him Pharaoh? I said, you can name yourself whatever you want. But the Hall of Records don't recognize outsiders as Pharaoh. You can don whatever title you want, Alexander the so-called Great. But when you go to the Hall of Records, which is in Abydos, your name is not there. So the thing is, I had to deal with the ancient Egyptians being black, and I also had to let them know that Egypt was a colony of Nubia and Ethiopia. It was the grandest, of course. It's like this. When your grandfather passed some information down to the son passed down to his son, it's supposed to get better, right? Instead of the horse and carriage, you should be in the Impala. You understand? So that's what Egypt did. They put everything in stone. This is 36,000 years of information. The Egyptians even told it on record, because that's the amazing part. You don't have to go far. Ask them. The Egyptians said, we came from the foothills of the mountains of the moon, where God dwells. Where is that? That's basically Congo and Uganda. The Nile River goes from south to north. So they told you their origin story already. But no, they came from out of space. Lie again one more time. And so they it's called the Papyrus of Funifer. Okay? You know, because the thing is, I'm the type of person, once again, I'm a history major, I'm a teacher. I'm going to tell you where I found it. I'm not going to point at a video or a soundbite. I read it. I'll tell you where it's from. You see what I'm saying? And so what happens is, the Papyrus of Funifer mentions that. The Edfu text mentions that there was a line of kings called the followers of Heru. So Horus was a real person. these guys were real individuals that lived real lives. They came from Nubia and so on. And matter of fact, Ramses the Great, as many people try to put him off as Arab, with orange, I have yet to see somebody from Arabia or anywhere in the Middle East outside of that area with orange hair. Have you ever met a person from, a person of Arab descent with orange hair?
You're not gonna find one, unless in hood terms you ain't.
But however, in Sudan, in parts of Ethiopia, there's people that are as dark as we are with orange hair. So, Ramses the Great, Usher Ma'at-Rasetepe-Ramesu was a Nubian. And matter of fact, he married a Nubian. Most of the Egyptian pharaohs were either Nubian or Ethiopian, or they married a Nubian or Ethiopian.
Can you sit on that for a minute? Can you put a pin in that? Because that right there is crucial. It's something I'm still studying. So okay. I'm not going to act like I'm an expert. But when I started getting that, when I started finally recognizing, because people don't even recognize that, Nubia, the way I teach it, and if I'm saying it wrong, you're a teacher, so correct me so I make sure I teach it right from now on. But the way I normally tell people in history class, or if I'm talking about it, on social media or people one-on-one, whatever, I will normally try to tell them that you can't think about Kemet without Nubia, because it's like thinking about America almost without thinking about England. You have to think about that. Wow. And then Nubia also comes back into the fray to where they also came back and took over what once was theirs, as far as Kemet took over from Nubia too, right? Am I wrong in saying that?
Let me help you. You're on. But let's deal with this.
Okay.
Britain and North America or United States were cut off. How? Because of that Atlantic Ocean. Right?
Right.
What we can say is North America is connected by which three countries? Mexico, United States, and Canada, right? Let's use that.
Okay.
The Nile River ran from south to north. So that whole Nile River connected all three countries. It was like you going from one neighborhood to the next. In Dallas, it's like me going from Pleasant Grove to Oak Cliff, just going down the street. It was all connected. All connected by what? The Nile River, over 4,100 miles of it. You can fit the whole United States in that space. So what happened is these kings, these leaders, evolved. The crowns was the white crown of Upper Egypt, which is what? Nubia. A lot of, once again, the wordplay, pay attention. Upper Egypt. Oh, that must be Egypt. No, that's Nubia. So, yes, they had kings, several of them, and queens as well. Let's be clear. There was multiple Egyptian pharaohs, and they were women. It wasn't just men.
We don't tell that story that
right.
often, but you definitely
right. We gotta black girl magic. So check this out. When you mention Nubia, Sudan, or ancient Meroe had to come back and repossess Egypt. Why? Because she was getting too weak. It was too much infighting, and the Greeks and Hyksos and Asians was coming over. So hold on.
You know what? I've never put that together, but that's plain as day. Yeah.
It's like, bro, you don't see them coming across that water? Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to draw this line in the sand, and they can't come no further. That's the reason why Sudan and Ethiopia maintained sovereignty even after that.
Yep.
It's like one of those things where, okay, we're going to let y'all have it. After the 25th dynasty of Egypt, she was old and she was tired. And once again, the only reason why, let's pay attention to this, the only reason why outsiders was able to come in and infiltrate and destroy another black nation yet again was because of infighting among black people.
Say that again. That's it right there.
Let me rewind and press play. The only reason why any white nation anywhere can overtake a black nation of any kind, be it an empire or a neighborhood gentrification, is because of infighting, family disputes, hood rivalries, gang violence, or whatever. Throw in a few guns, throw in a few liquor, watch the show. This is not checkers. This is chess. And so what happens is they will wait till it goes to a boiling point, and up here we come. They cannot take us down on their own. Because think about it. If we all as a people, like Sudan and Ethiopia did later on, said, uh-oh, they're the enemy. That's the problem. Here they come. And have that front, there it is. They can't infiltrate. So Sudan, you know, that even though Egypt was Nubia's child, said, look, we can't do this. And so what happened later on in the 20th century, they started rebuilding around Sudan and started making the Aswan Dam. So a lot of artifacts that would prove that that Sudan, Nubia, is the mother of Egypt is underwater. So it was seen as if there was no connection, which there was. Speaking of connection, if you look at, and I have these on my slideshows, there's other nations in Africa. Once Egypt fell, people moved, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you see traces of people, like people in Kenya have the feather on their head, like Maat. You see the Dogon people with great knowledge of astrology. You have
people
sitting on the throne.
I was just about to ask you about them. Are they the ones who? I might be off because like I said, I'm still growing in this. So forgive me if I'm off. But are they the ones that also sometimes have the tattoos that go with it as well as that you'll see on the Kemetic walls? Or is that another tribe?
That's another tribe. I'm trying to
top
my head. I can't recall. Right, but the Dogon people can actually, matter of fact, if you see them right in the sand, it looks like the Mandu Nature. It looks like hieroglyphics. You see what I'm saying? You don't see traces like that anywhere else in Europe and Asia. It's all over Africa, but it's just in bits and pieces. It's not like as a one whole. You'll see the Mandu Nature in the Dogon people. You'll see the dress in Kenya. You'll see something else in Congo, you know, bits and pieces, like the arm over here, leg, and so on. But you don't see that nowhere else. And then some of my people say, well, what about the pyramids in Mexico? Okay, what about it? Are they older than the ones in Egypt? Are they older than the Sphinx? No, they're not.
Nope.
The Sphinx is over 10,500 years old. So what they did was, during the 25th dynasty, you know, when the Middle Kingdom, when they really start doing Western expansion, most of the pyramids were on the outskirts of Latin America. They weren't deep into, you know. And what they did, it looked like instead of the slow pyramid, they went back to the step pyramid, made it more perfect. It just perfected the skill. Can that be linked to
like the step pyramid in Kemet, I've started reading up on that. I've heard of that, you know, for decades, but I've never really started to research. When I looked at a long time ago, I was like, the way that it was built, even though it wasn't as, like you said, as much perfected, I started realizing, like, even the way it was layered, stacked upon, carved, you know, it's everything that's there. Even the step pyramid, well, I might be, because I know there's several pyramids in the middle of what we call the United States now, but I know one of those is the step pyramid, and that actually has a lot of not just Kemetic writing on it, but it also has a lot of writings from a lot of different tribes as well, even Bantu writing, I believe.
Right, which is fine. But it's one of those things where it's like when you have a sketchbook, it just gets better and better over time. And so the original step pyramid in Kemet, as built by the Grandmaster Imhotep, they went from the step to the slope, and then once they went back to the pyramid age, they didn't do it in Kemet anymore, but they did it in Sudan. They got pyramids all over Sudan. Then they had them, of course, in the Americas and so on. All they did was say, man, I'm going to make this better. Watch this.
Just like if you see somebody playing basketball. If you look, Bill Russell was great. Will Chamberlain was great. You know, you had a lot of greats playing, you know, and then you got Magic and you got Kareem and you got Bird and then you got Jordan and then you got Kobe and then you got LeBron. You just add on to the skill. And it's not that necessarily any of them were best, you know, it gets better, but it's, you know, all they do is they look at where they came from.
That's right. And we have to not make the separation. We all know that it had a primary source, and that is Kemet. They built on that, which is fine, but let's give credit to where credit is due. You see what I'm saying? And so, yes, matter of fact, there was pyramids built for queens as well in Sudan. And so,
can you say that again real quick?
I'm sorry. There was pyramids built for queens as well. Queens was just as powerful as the kings. So this thing was serious. And they had a high, like Dr. Ben would say, a high culture. And if they had a high culture in math and science and things like that, it was easy for them to be able to spread that information. But the issue is we as a people would be quick to write it off and ignore it and then get mad when other cultures take it. You know, claim it back, get it back, you know.
You know, one of the things that I heard, I don't remember if this was Dr. Ben or if this was Dr. Africa, but somebody said something that was powerful to me once. They said, one of them said that if you even think about it, look at the, you can tell the people that are there now are not the same people because they don't care for what's there. That's why everything is falling apart. Yeah. It's crumbling because why would they take care of something that they don't identify with?
And on top of that, the only reason why they keep it is because it's a tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tourist attraction. So they would keep it because it's making them money.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to maintain that, and they want to maintain the fact that these Egyptian people were Arab, and the Arab people really didn't touch down until, like, a couple thousand years ago. And so, you know, that's because it was a mixture between European and black. And just over time, of course, evolution and so on, that there you have it. But the thing is, we have to be proud of our culture. You know, we have to understand that we came from something great, something awesome. And the thing is, we have to build on that. Just like the pyramids or whatever, we got to build on it. How can we do that? Through education. Some people will say, well, the education system is flawed. Yeah, I get it. But teach what you know. You know, if you know something, do something. So what I have done, because I used to write curriculums for school districts and so on. Out of that necessity, I put it out on TikTok. And I would get individuals who say, well, it's not Africa, it's Al-Kibulan. I said, that's fine. But for instructional purposes, I'm saying what?
Right.
Africa. You get caught in the semantics. You get caught in the wordplay instead of the information. The information is the most important, you know. And he said, we're not African. We're indigenous people. That's fine. But the point of origin is still where? Africa. Well, I'm not black. I'm a Moor. I'm Hebrew. That's fine. But the funny part is, you don't see a Baptist person or a Methodist person saying, I'm not black. I'm a Methodist. We have ascribed to an ideology. We put the ideology and creed before us as a race of people. That's a problem. What is it that we don't want to be African? We want to be Hebrew. We want to be. We've been all over the course of these over 30+ thousand years. We have been many of these things. It's okay, but yeah, I get that pushback on TikTok. You didn't say. You didn't look at my other videos either. But
that's okay. Going to be annoying too. I tell people, like, why can't y'all just research? Like, you've obviously done a little bit of research just before you say something to me. Like, why don't you just scroll back a few? Or if you don't mind, I make sure that I put comments up because I just go from comment to comment to comment because people can literally just look tap on the comments and just go backward video to video and see the context. We don't even have to have, you know, the argument that you're having, but it definitely goes back to something that we were taught, which was division, and we love to be divided. Mm-hmm. We love to say which Negro is better, which one is in the house, which one is in the field, which plantation is bigger.
Yeah.
What our position was. We served in this area of America. We did this. We traveled here. As if it makes us any better than anybody else. At the end of the day, we still should be family, and I think that's the main thing. But and we're gonna pause right there just for a second because I got to make sure that we get a little bit of advertisement in. I'm loving this conversation.
Yeah.
I know you guys are too. And when we come back, if King Cam doesn't mind, before we cut, well, I guess maybe we'll take a break from this convo, kind of sort. I'll make sure I make a mental note to come back to where we left off because the vision is important to talk about as well. And I love where we're going, but let me just drop a couple things on you real quick, and then we will open the phone lines up. I see you on here, 904-650-2007. I see you, of course. Even though I may hold back on you 207 just for a little bit, just because I want you to kind of come in with all three of us that are involved doing this NSF radio stuff. But as I have us on, thank you once again. You're listening to Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio. You can catch us on Blog Talk Radio here every Saturday, 1 o'clock p.m. New York time, Eastern time, Standard Eastern time. I have King Cam on here himself. We normally play this. Well, you know what? We'll go ahead and play this even though we have him on. And then we'll make sure that we tell you how to make sure that you can hear him as well. And, of course, as I say that, the studio was acting up. But we have King Cam on here. He's on here every Monday and Wednesday, 10 o'clock p.m. to 12 a.m. on the Midnight Oil. You can catch him on TikTok at Marcus Speaks. So that's MARQUES Speaks. Also, too, check us out at NSF or NSFatherhood.org. That's N as in National, S as in Saving, Fatherhood.org, where we want to make sure that we are part of our agenda is to make sure that we're taking care of our community. And even though we know we've been lied to say that no black fathers are really there for their children at all, we still need to be stronger, and we help fathers all over the place and, of course, our mothers and our families as well. We also want you to take time out, if you can, to go to nsfatherhood.org. If you haven't done so already, go there. You can stream the show. You can go to nsfatherhood.org. Once again, N is in National, S is in Saving Fatherhood, nsfatherhood.org. Once you go there, click on NSF radio stations at the top. Once you do that, you can then go from NSF radio stations to Blog Talk Radio. Once you click on Blog Talk Radio, you'll be able to sign in right there. You can get you can go back, stream all the stuff you might have missed. You can join live with the shows we've talked about. Also, too, Brother Alfred, who will be on a little later. Him and I co-host the show on Thursdays. We also have a new show that's been coming out to where we have recordings, we have comedy. We're going to try and have some other things as far as being newer, even some guests eventually. But we have some things you can listen to, some old school comedy, some new school comedy. You can laugh a little bit. It's kind of tough to be able to go and do some of the things we've been doing before where we could just go to a comedy club. Or, you know, we could just, turn on certain things and comedy would be on there. That part hasn't shown up yet. So just to kind of give you a chance to laugh a little bit, not have to focus only on the negativity that you're seeing around you, not only have to focus on just the fight all the time, you can go there and learn some great things. So we have much more Thank you guys for being on once again. You're listening to Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio. We're going to go ahead and continue. Said, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, we're coming at you. If you're just speaking on here, or I'm sorry, if you're just listening rather on here, feel free to just listen. But I'm going to go ahead and let our callers answer. I have two lined up right now. I'm going to go to the 904 area code real quick. 904, you are on Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio. We have our guest, King Cam. Do you have any questions, comments, or concerns that you'd like to make known at this time?
I had a really quick question. This is Anaïs Faith Jones. How are you? I did want to ask about the Egyptology. What was the book that really got you into the Egyptology?
There was quite a few, but the book that got me at a young age was King Tut and his friends, King Tutankhamun and his friends. There was a small little red book my father gave me, right? And then it went from that to the book by Dr. Ben, The Black Man of the Nile and His Family. That's a good book. And also Egypt Revisited by edited by Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. Those are like good starter kit kind of things, kind of books. There's many others, I'm sure, but dealing with just on Kemet in Egypt, Black Man of the Nile and His Family is good. King Tut and His Family. You know, the reason why I say King Tut and His Family is good because that's a good book for children. So when my dad gave me that, I was 12 years old, and it was easy to read. You know, have pictures and things like that. So that was good. And then when you get older, there's books by Introduction to African Civilization by Brother John Jackson. That's good. And Egypt Revisited, because that deals with the actual ethnicity of Egypt. And Dr. Ben, Black Man of the Nile and His Family, that deals with the overall history of Kemet. And let me see if I can get you one more. The Nile Valley Contribution to Civilization by Anthony Broder. So it's okay. You know, it's one of those things where you can't swallow the ocean all in one day. Just just read like a little bit at a time, because, you know, we got all day, you know, and just little bit by little bit.
Right. I appreciate it.
And but we appreciate the call, too. Thanks, MIT. Anaïs Faith Jones, actually, she's going to be a guest in the first Saturday in December, so we're excited about that as well.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us on Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio and asking that question. And also, too, Dr. Anthony Broder, he's a great person to look at, too. Isn't he the first Well, I don't know if he's the first. I know that he was somebody who's black, who actually took time out to pay his way to make sure that he, you know, did his own, you know, archaeology over there. So it was an independent thing, which was great as well, right?
It wasn't just Dr. Anthony, but Dr. Ben did that. Dr. Ben actually he went to he went to Nubia and did the research, and that's where a lot of his information comes from. It comes from the source, and so he went and the thing is, Egyptology is the only form of history that is branded like that. You don't hear about Europeanology or anything like that, and it was developed by Europeans and the Roman Catholic Church to basically figure out ways of learning about African history and borrowing from it or just stealing from it. So that was just another way of them doing that. But you don't hear about any other form of history in that high regard like that.
True.
So
very
true. Dr. Ben did it. And there were some others as well.
Yeah, I did not. Yeah, I'm gonna have to pick your brain a little bit after this, sir. I like that. Look, that opened up my eyes to a whole bunch of other stuff that I need to think about differently now. 650, and if you guys can, because I want to make sure I bring 207 on here, bring Brother Alfred on here. So I'm gonna go ahead and do it like this. I've got 650 on here. I've just seen 202 pop up on here as well. That's the area codes that I'm looking at. So if you can just give a quick question, we're going to try and give some quick answers, and then we're going to bring Brother Alfred on real quick, and we're going to wrap this up. We got about 13 minutes or so left before I got to start our sign-off. So thank you guys so much. We'll probably, if he doesn't mind, we'll probably have to bring King Cam back on sometime later on in the future, because this is excellent stuff. But 650, I've got you on. 650 area code. You are on Kofi Speaks on NSF Radio with myself, Kofi, and King Cam. Is there anything that you would like to ask, any questions, comments, or concerns? 650, I got you on. It going once, going twice. Okay, all right. Thank you for being on. We appreciate you for listening. We have 202 on here. 202 area code coming to you next. You're on Kofi Speaks with King Cam. Did you have any questions for King Cam? We're talking about a lot of different subjects. Anything that you have for us, any questions, comments, or concerns?
Yes, actually, I was wondering what is the most surprising or shocking thing you learned about Egyptology growing up, and I asked the question because yesterday I was actually watching an Amazon Prime movie, and it mentioned Egypt, but it mentioned it as a European country, and to me that was extremely shocking. In 2020, to still hear people speaking of Egypt as Europe, so I just wanted your take.
My take is this is King Cam. Thank you for calling. My thing is, my biggest surprise is we're still having to fight this. It's like one of those things where you're still trying to carve Oklahoma out of the United States. Egypt is in Africa. Europe basically just got on the scene at around 1700 B.C., there may have been Europeans around, but they did not know who they are, who they were, or what state they were in at that time. They were just trying to survive. While they was trying to survive, Egypt was in their, mid to new dynastic period. So it still surprises me that we have to keep saying, hey, bro, that's an African nation. But Let's clear some things up. Before the Berlin Conference of the 1800s, there was no such things as an African state called Egypt or Nigeria or Chad. They were all just Africa. So the Nile River, as long as the Nile River was going south to north, each one of those empires or civilizations were connected. And where they were located? In Africa. How can you tell? Just look at the map, or look at the people, the original people. So, yeah, I'm surprised. I'm still surprised about that. Even now, you're on Amazon Prime, and they're still trying to play it off as a European country. No, no, that's not how that go. But it takes us as a people to share what we know and to continue to dispel that myth. Yeah.
That's right. Thank you so much for the call. That was my queen on here. So thanks for calling, babe. Appreciate the question. I'm gonna go ahead and go and end with 207. We got Brother Alfred on here. How you doing, sir? Did you have anything that you wanted to add on? And coming, by the way, this is the person who started at NSF Radio and gave the opportunity for us to give you, to give us this platform to be able to give you guys a place that you can hear some things different. So we have him coming on now. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate you. Did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Yes, I do. I want to say first, I appreciate you all today, and I appreciate everybody for coming on supporting NSF Radio. Please remind you, everybody, just wanted to say, we are stimulating my brain. My brain is tingling. So that means we got good things ahead. Want to make a brief announcement with everybody. please support. Don't forget Coopy on Speaks, and King Cam's gear is now on sale for the holidays. Get your warm gear ready for you. Because every time you get a piece of, whether it's a curtain or sneaker, anything, you're supporting the show. You're also supporting future endeavors. And we have another announcement. We are in the works of launching NSF TV. So next year, we will have stream right to your house. Or if you have a smart TV, you can still listen to NSF TV live in your house. Okay, so we're working on that diligently in the background. So to keep you on tuned in, stay in, and we are hiring as well and looking for talent. So if you would love to be able to broadcast on NSF Radio, please contact Brother King Cam or Brother Coopy and sit down with them and set up a meeting, and we'll go from there. So, but I appreciate everybody from coming on NSF Radio. The steal from King Cam, we have motivation and more. So I appreciate you all. So thank you.
That's right. That's right. So, and thank you to everybody who's been on here, who's been speaking, who's been asking questions. We're so appreciative of King Cam being on here again. I'm going to just kind of, I'll ask a question and maybe give you about 5 minutes or so to just kind of, you know, cook, you know, however you want. And then I'll come back and, you know, get ready to sign off. But, we had talked about it, and we didn't really come back to it. There's so many different ways we could have went with this because you have a wealth of knowledge, and I appreciate just sitting back and listening and learning. But one of the things that you said that really touched me, and we started to go in that direction, but we didn't, but you said, you know, no nation can come into somebody else's house, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing, but no nation can come into somebody else's nation or somebody else's house, someone else's tribe, and do anything unless we are not unified. What are some of the things, and like I said, you can have about 5 minutes or so and just do your thing on this. What are some of the things that we need to learn as a people today, as a diaspora today, that came from a lot of the separation and us allowing ourselves to be separated, us allowing ourselves to think that colorism was a real thing, et cetera? What are some of the lessons that we can look at, even if you want to come from the mindset of an Egyptologist, so to speak, what are some things that we can look at from our past and realize that we're repeating the same thing, and what are some things that maybe we should learn from those that we don't repeat, and also, if possible, which should be possible, but, you know, if possible, to put in this 5 minutes or so, what are some things that we could learn that were positive things? Like you mentioned, Nubia came back and said, we're not going to allow this to happen. What are some things that are positive also that we can learn from to make sure that we reinstitute them in our society nowadays?
Okay, two things. Of course, Sankofa, the concept of Sankofa, that is the bird that looks back and move forward, right? We always got to give reverence to our past, whether it was great or whether we had struggles. Give reverence to that and don't rest there, but move forward. What can we do in 2020, 2021? So what's next? Yes, we came from Africa, but now we're here in the diaspora. What's next? Okay? Learning about the past and moving forward and teaching our youth about the past so they can take it up to the next level. The next thing is, I would say Ubuntu. U-B-U-N-T-U. That means I am because of you. We have to come back to that. We have to come back to the concept that we are all, if you are of African descent, be it Puerto Rico, be it in Kenya, in Texas, Maine, in London, where if you are of African descent, we're all African, period. Regardless of the religious affiliation or creed, they're not, like Malcolm X would say, they're not taking us out because we're Baptist or a Muslim. They're taking us out because we are what? Black. Let's unite as a people and say, we are not going to take this anymore. There's multiple ways of doing this. Everybody can't be on the front line with a rifle or something like that. That we have teachers, We have doctors. We have all that we need to move forward and to help one another. How can we do that? We can help our next door neighbor. What about them? You know, we're so quick to get a passport and go to Ghana somewhere. What about the person down the street? What about the children on your block that can't read? See, because I am because of who you are. You know, if you have it, if you have extra $4 or $5, you don't have to give it to, say, a big organization. Give to a friend that's in need or even a stranger. That's where we can start. It starts with us being us and not including anyone else in the conversation. Once again, this is an in-house matter. We don't need any extra company when we're having these kind of discussions. Once again, Africa, a lot of these nations are falling or have failed because of division among the family. And then we let other outside people weigh in on what's going on at home. I see a lot of people trying to appeal to other races and say, hey, please hear us. Please listen to us. I'm the type of person that if you don't want to hear me anymore, I'm done talking to you. I'm just going to do my thing. We as Africans in the diaspora need to stop appealing to the conscience of other nations, other groups of people. Let's turn our backs and deal with us. Love us. Love our black women. Love our children. Raise our children. Teach them the right, what's right, what's wrong. That's what we can do. You know. I know, of course, I can go on and on, but yeah, I know we're about to go. But yeah, that's what we can do. Sankofa.
No, that was awesome. That was awesome. Very much so. You got that Sankofa and Mbutu. So, and thank you for that. The concept of remembering where we come from, the concept of making sure that you understand that we are each other, we are one. And, you know, what we refer to a lot is keeping the main thing the main thing. Like, I say this all the time, like, look, people know my, you know, I'm a pastor, so you know my religiosity, but at the same time, the main thing is the main thing. If we're talking black, I don't need to give you a sermon right now. You know, James Baldwin, he was LGBTQ+, but you know what? When he was talking, as much as I don't mind him standing for who he is, at the end of the day, he kept the main thing the main thing. You rarely hear him doing a whole lot of talking about that. Why is that? Because even though he understood that everybody needed to be looked at as, you know, whatever your beliefs are, right now the main thing is the main thing. And right now the main thing is the main thing. We need to make sure we take care of that, take care of the black agenda, no matter what your feelings are on politics, voting, history, et cetera. The main thing is the main thing. How are we going to come together and be better? And so I'm appreciative to our guests once again. Besides them following you at Marcus Speaks on TikTok and seeing your show, King Cam, real quick, on the midnight on Mondays and Wednesdays, is there anywhere else you want people to be aware that they can follow you at?
Yeah, that's really it. I'm on TikTok and I'm on Instagram and Twitter. But I'm also have a King Cam and June Bay's podcast. That is that's basically on all on Anchor, and that's where I'm able to, because, you know, we know TikTok, you only have like less than a minute to talk. So I use the podcast to explain and go into depth about things. So, yeah, I'm on Instagram. Yeah.
All right. So check them out. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok here on NSF Radio. And make sure that you take time out to look him up on the podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in so much. You can find me on all platforms, whether you're looking for YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Kalanis, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera. Or even if you want to Google me, just Google hashtag Find Kofi. Once again, check us out, nsfatherhood.org, N is in national, S is in saving, nsfatherhood.org. We appreciate you so much for being on the show. We thank you. We'll be back on next week, Saturday, 1 o'clock p.m., New York time, Eastern time, or Standard Eastern time, depending on how you look at time. And as always, I want you to remember that you are loved, you are necessary, you are majestic, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you, which is all of us working together, will be the reason why people in this world have an alternative so that they can be in the system, but not up. Shalom.
Hey, y'all, come along like hey, y'all, to Yahshua. Hey, y'all, come along. like Eyal to Elohim. Eyal, come along like Eyal to Yeshua, my Savior. Elohim, like Big Bruh, come along.
Embrace your soul survival. Embrace your soul survival.